Father, we will continue this afternoon our journey through the survey of the New Testament. Tonight we come to the book of Philemon, a book written by the Apostle Paul, and a book that holds some great truths and some great meanings. Continue to be with us and bless us as we continue this survey through the New Testament. And through, as we study this book and as we gather this knowledge, it certainly will increase our faith. But more than that, we can keep going back to these books over and over again, understanding the gist of them and pull more information from them. So be with us and bless us in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, an introduction to the book of Philemon. And the introduction then is what we start with, and we will carry that introduction on. Philemon is the most personal of all the Apostle Paul's letters. Onesimus, a slave of Philemon, had run away to Rome. In Rome, he came in contact with the Apostle Paul, who was under house arrest. At the end of the book of Acts, in Acts 28, tells you that. After Paul converts Onesimus, that was the runaway slave of Philemon, after Paul converts Onesimus, the apostle sends Onesimus back to Philemon with a letter in his hand. Onesimus is left Philemon. He left him as a bondservant. But now he's returning to him as a brother in the Lord. Amen. And Paul encourages Philemon in verse 17, you accept Onesimus just like you would accept me. That is the book of Philemon. And there's a lot of truth to be, and a lot of truth that we need to develop. And we'll get into it. We'll get into it. All right, Roman numeral number one is we want to take a look at the author. The author of the book of Philemon is the Apostle Paul. Paul tells us three times in this one chapter book that he is the author. In verse 1, in verse 9, and in verse 19. The Apostle Paul tells us twice in this one chapter book that he is a prisoner, verse 1 and in verse 9. So the book of Philemon is one of the four books of Paul that we call the prison epistles. That is, letters that Paul wrote from prison. One of them is to this man named Philemon. Number two, we want to take, or okay, number three, if you want more information on the Apostle Paul, you go back to the notes in the book of Romans, because that's where we gave a lot of information about the Apostle Paul. Now, Roman numeral number two, we want to talk about Philemon and Onesimus. These are the two key characters in the book. So let's find out about them. First of all, we're going to start with Philemon. Philemon was a wealthy citizen of the city of Colossae. He was a wealthy citizen of the city of Colossae. Now, why do we say that he was wealthy? Here's why we say he was wealthy. Because his home was large enough for the church to meet. That's verse 2. The church would come together and they would meet at the home of Philemon. If your home is large enough to house the brethren, you got a big house. And a big house in the ancient world was only to the wealthy. Why was he wealthy? He had a number of slaves. He had a number of slaves. Number four, he was converted by the Apostle Paul. So Philemon was converted by the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 19. I'm going to tell you where I got that. And some people will argue with it, and I'm not going to argue with you about it. Verse 19, Paul writing to this Philemon, he says, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. He's talking about whatever Onesimus may have taken or whatever you need to be repaid. Paul says, I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. So from that, I'm taking that the Apostle Paul had converted Philemon. Now, I actually checked that with three or four different scholars, and three of the four agreed that that's probably what Paul was having reference to. But in any case, the Apostle Paul and Philemon had a very, very good relationship because as Paul addresses him in this letter, in this very personal way, Paul tells Philemon, listen, I'm not commanding you to do this, but this is what you need to do. All right? Now, Onesimus. Onesimus was the slave. His name means profitable. His name means profitable. And he had been a slave in the household of Philemon. He had been a slave in the household of Philemon. Now, we're going to talk about something that we rarely talk about. But in order to understand the book of Philemon, this is something that we have to understand. We have to understand the culture out of which all of this is coming from. We want to take a look at slavery in the Roman world. Slavery in the Roman world. The thing you have to understand is this. Slavery was an ingrained institution in the Roman world. It was an ingrained institution in the Roman world. It was as much a part of life as the sun rising in the morning and setting in the evening. That's the way the Roman world was. We're getting to why it was that bad. Number two, this is amazing. Well over one third, as much as one half of the population of Rome were slaves. That's how ingrained in that culture and in that society that slavery was. Over one third and as much as half of the people in Rome were slaves. Now, what led to a lot of that was the attitude that the Romans had, or a Roman citizen had about himself, and that was this. All form of work was considered beneath the dignity of a Roman citizen. And in other words, they honestly believed that they were all that. And the idea of rolling up their sleeves and picking something up and going to work was not an idea that they liked. So this is the culture. Here's what I'm telling you. This is the culture out of which the book of Philemon was written, and how Philemon and Onesimus are going to be brought back together, and how Paul is going to deal with them coming back together. Roman numeral number four, the human story. And in other words, the story now of Philemon, Onesimus, and the Apostle Paul. Here is the human story in the book of Philemon. Everything, we look at statistics, brethren, and everything is a number until you know one of those numbers. And then it's no longer a number. Now we're talking about people. The story. Number one, Onesimus had run away from Philemon. He traveled several hundred miles to the city of Rome. Now, when we get to lessons to remember, we're going to talk about how all of this came together. But understand this. Onesimus is Philemon's slave. Onesimus runs away from Philemon, and Onesimus ends up several hundred miles from Colossae to Rome. And that's where the slave Onesimus ends up. He ends up in the city of Rome. You got it? Watch. Number two. While in Rome, Onesimus comes in contact with Paul, the imprisoned apostle. What a coinky dink. He goes several hundred miles, and when he stops in Rome, he comes in contact with the apostle Paul, who is under house arrest at Rome. Wonder how that happened. We're going to talk about that later. Number three, the apostle Paul converts Onesimus to Christ. Look at Philemon verse 10. Verse 10. Paul again writing to Philemon. I appeal to you, my son, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. So Paul refers to him as his son, just like he referred to Timothy as his son. Paul converted Onesimus. So Onesimus leaves Colossae, he comes to Rome, he comes in contact with Paul, and Paul converts Onesimus, the runaway slave. Number four, Onesimus becomes a valuable helper to the Apostle Paul. Look now down to verse 13. Verse 13. I would have liked to keep him, that is Onesimus. Paul says, I wanted to keep Onesimus with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. So Onesimus is converted by Paul, and then Onesimus becomes a helper of the Apostle Paul. Number five. Onesimus then returns to Philemon. Paul sends Onesimus back to Philemon. But when he sends Onesimus back to Philemon, Onesimus is accompanied by a man named Tychicus. I didn't name any of these people. All right? I didn't name any of these people. But Onesimus, the Apostle Paul, that's the one we know, Paul sends Onesimus back to Philemon, but he doesn't send him back alone. He sends Tychicus back with Onesimus. That's in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Now, number 6, the Apostle Paul, when they go back, they take a letter. Tychicus has a letter. And he's going to give that letter to Philemon. That letter that Tychicus gives Philemon is the book of Philemon. And so Paul appeals to Philemon in this letter. He appeals to Philemon to receive Onesimus back, but to receive him back not as a slave, but to receive him back as a brother in Christ. That's verses 9 through 16. So that's the human story of the book of Philemon. That's the human aspect of it. That Onesimus runs away. He ends up in Rome. He contacts the Apostle Paul. Paul converts him. He becomes a helper to Paul. And then Paul tells him, listen, you're going to go back to Philemon, but I'm going to send Tychicus with you with a letter. And in this letter, they go back to Philemon, and in this letter, Paul even says this in the letter. He says, now this is not a command, but this is an appeal from me to you, that you need to accept him back, but not to receive, not to accept him back as a slave. You need to accept him back as a brother in Christ. And any punishment that's due to him, Paul says, listen, I'll pay for it. And Paul goes on to tell him, you need to receive him just like you would receive me. Now that's tension. That's tension. And what's Philemon going to do? What's Philemon going to do? You know what he's going to do? He's going to do what Paul told him to do. He's going to do what Paul told him to do. Because he knew who Paul was, and he knew the kind of man that Paul was, and Paul was probably the one who had converted him, and now Paul is telling him, listen, you accept him like you accept me. And what Philemon is going to do just what Paul told him to do. He's going to do just what Paul told him to do. This is a very personal letter, and there's a lot that's in those verses, 9 through 16, there is a whole lot that's going on in them verses. And what I think about is what was going on in the mind of Onesimus as he went back. And Tychicus is with him. And they got this letter. And here was Onesimus. Look, we're doing this. We're doing this. And we're going to give him the letter. The book of Philemon. Here's a couple things you need to know about the book of Philemon in general. Number one, the purpose of the book of Philemon is to persuade Philemon to receive and to release Onesimus, who is now a New Testament Christian. That's the purpose of the book. That's it. You don't have to remember 100 things. That's what you have to remember. This book is about the Apostle Paul persuading Philemon, you take this man back, you release this man from his labor, and you now accept him as a brother in Christ. That's the book of Philemon. Number two. Paul's letter to Philemon is private. This is one man to another man. And the book of Philemon is like no other letter that Paul wrote. It's like no other letter that Paul wrote. This is a private letter. This is what I'm asking you to do, and this is what you need to do. And there's no other letter like that in the Bible. So Philemon, in that respect, Philemon stands by itself. All right, lessons to remember. We got to get through these. And there's a few of them. And some of these are just deep. Some of these are deep. And you're going to have to think with me. Number one, we see the providence of God in bringing Onesimus in contact with the Apostle Paul. Listen, this guy isn't a king, he's a slave. And he's on the run. And he goes several hundred miles. He ends up in the city of Rome, and he ends up in the face of the Apostle Paul, who is under house arrest. Listen, what are the odds of that? There are no odds for that. That is the hand of God. That is the providence of God. And that's what I was talking about Sunday. God has his hands in our lives. But most of us don't realize it. And we don't realize it because we're not close enough to God to realize it. We know that God works all things together to those who loved him and to those who are called according to his purpose. If that verse doesn't teach divine providence, that verse doesn't teach anything. How can God work good in your life and in my life if he isn't working in our lives? He is working in our lives. God is working in our lives, and this will set you back. God has angels who are working in our lives. According to Hebrews chapter 1. Listen, they're working in our lives. That's what it says, that they serve those of us who are saved. Angels serve those of us who are saved. Are you saved? All right then. Now, you say, well, what do? Do they keep you from tripping going down the steps or finding a parking place? Listen, All I can tell you is what it says. The providence of God. Listen, there are no odds in this man going several hundred miles to Rome. And it's not like Paul's out walking the streets. He's under house arrest. But he still finds him. And Paul converts him. And he helps Paul. And Paul says, listen, you're going back. And I'm sure Onesimus is like, I'm doing what? You're going back, and Titus is going with you, and you're taking a letter, and we're going to get this thing all straight out. Listen, there are no, that God's hands is all over that, and God's hand is all over our lives. We need to live with the awareness of the providence of God. Now, I know the providence of God for two reasons, because the Bible teaches it. And secondly, because I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in my life. Just listen, to be where I'm at, to be standing where I'm standing, to be doing what I've been doing for a half, listen. You say, boy, listen, it's God. It's God. And yet we go around worrying about every little thing. Amen. We're worried about every little thing. Well, what's going to happen if? And what's going to happen to? And what's going to happen for? Well, you know what's going to happen? God's going to take care of it. Now, he may not take care of it when you want him to, and he may not take care of it the way you want him to, but the way and the when he takes care of it will be exactly the right time and exactly the right way. The providence of God screams in the book of Philemon. God helped Philemon, God helped me, and God will help you. But you got to live with an awareness of it. You got to live with an awareness of it. Number two, we learn the importance of being a peacemaker. Paul is trying to make peace with everybody involved in this. Philemon and Onesimus. Listen, Matthew 5:9, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now I want to tell you something about peacemakers. There's a difference between peace lovers and peacemakers. We're not, certainly we're lovers of peace. I hope so. Certainly we are lovers of peace, but that's not what it says. We are not just to love peace, we are to take steps to make peace. We are to be peace lovers. Here is Paul getting Philemon and Onesimus back. Paul wants folks to be at peace. In Romans 12, Paul says, let us, as much as lies within us, live at peace with all men. Now, how many of you know people who it's hard to live at peace with? Just me? Well, I'll give you some of mine then. As much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. Now, that's as much as lies within you. You do that. But there are some people who just aren't going to have peace with you. But your response to that isn't to hate them. Listen, if somebody is at odds with me, I'm at peace with them. Listen to me. If they still are at odds with me, that's their problem. It's not my problem anymore. You say, well, you guys have a problem. No, they have a problem. They have a problem. So we see how important it is to be at peace. You got to do more than just love peace and walk around and with signs, peace and love, and take your little love patch that you got on your shoulder and walk around. You got to make peace with people. You got to make peace with people. And if they don't want to make peace, it's on them. The only person you control is the one that looks back at you in the mirror. This ain't that hard. That's right. Or they get a hold of you. Number three, we see the importance here of forgiveness. From all sides. From all sides. Listen, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to tell you what I've always thought about this passage. Even from when I was old enough to know anything, I would read this and always have this thought. Matthew chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 14 and verse 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And here's what I've always thought. What other words could Jesus have used to make that any clearer than the words that he used? If you read that and you're confused, you haven't read that. If I want to receive forgiveness from God, I must extend forgiveness to others. You say, but they hurt me. How many times have you hurt God? You think they've done worse to you than you've done to God in your life? If you do, you need to go revisit your past a while. So we see the need here of forgiveness. Number four. All saved men are now one in Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And verse number 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Did you see the part about slave and free? Have you ever thought about this? Again, at least one third of Rome was made up of slaves. In the assembly on the Lord's Day in the early church, it could very well be that the slave is being served by the master during Lord's Supper or whatever. Listen, everybody who's in Christ is one. There are no highs and there are no lows. The ground, listen to me, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. So that means that in the eyes of God, Onesimus was as much as Philemon was. And that's what Paul was getting across to Philemon. Number five. Now, there are some wrongs that cannot be immediately changed. So what do? We must teach God's truth and allow the gospel to do its work. You say there was slavery. And as wrong as that was, there are some wrongs that cannot be immediately changed. They are so ingrained in culture. What we do is we keep teaching the truth and we allow the gospel to do its work. Now, I'll give you a present day example, abortion. Abortion. There are few things more wrong than killing babies. Few things more wrong than that. And we're up to like 65 million. 65 million. But abortion is so ingrained in our culture. Listen, everybody had a fit a couple years ago when they just wanted to return it to the States. That's how ingrained it is. So what do we do with this wrong? What do? We teach the truth and we allow the gospel to do its work. Listen, when Jesus was here, over and over again, he put people on equal footing. The parable of the Good Samaritan. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Listen, the Jews thought that the Samaritans were simply firewood for hell. And so here is Jesus standing there saying that, well, the priest, the Jew, went by and saw the man half dead and kept going. And the Levi, the other Jew, came by, saw the man and kept going. But a certain Samaritan stopped, helped him, took him to the inn, and told the guy, if there's more when I come by, I will pay you. Listen, that story was radical when Jesus stood there and told that. That was radical. In John chapter 4, Jesus is standing at Jacob's well, and this Samaritan woman comes up to him. For a Jewish male to address a Samaritan woman in the mind of a Jew was blasphemy. That was blasphemy. And what we miss when we read that is that the woman comes to draw water out of the well at noon. That's not when women drew water out of the well. They came early in the morning to draw the water out of the well before that sun got up there and just blistered them. She's there at noon. Why would she be there at noon? One of the speculations is because she was such an immoral person that the other women wouldn't have anything to do with her. And Jesus is standing there talking about, well, you need to tell your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And he says to her, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and now you're living with somebody who isn't your husband. That, listen, for a Jewish male, most Jewish men wouldn't even address their wives in public. They would not address their wives in public. And here stands Jesus, and she says, how can you, being a Jew, speak to me? She was stunned. You know what Jesus was doing? He was breaking culture barriers. He was breaking culture barriers. We read the book of Jonah and miss the whole point of the book of Jonah. And this is way back. This is back in the Old Testament. God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, well, not today. And he headed any other direction. And we miss the whole point. The point is that God is sending a prophet to Nineveh. Nineveh wasn't Jewish. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Why would you send me there? I'm not going there. We don't deal with those people. That's in the Old Testament. But you know where Jonah ended up? He ended up in Nineveh. Now, listen, when that fish vomited him out on the shore, you read this. When that fish vomited him out on the shore, the Bible says that Jonah's trip was a three-day trip. And he got there the next day. Listen, you say, well, how did he get there so quick? He thought that fish was still after him. Listen, it is the Bible that kept breaking cultural barriers. We don't do this. We don't do this. This isn't right. This is what the law is, but this isn't right. And that's what's going on in the book of Philemon. Paul tells Onesimus, you go back and you hand him this letter. And Philemon is told in that letter, you accept him just like you accept me. You say, well, what do we do till the law changes? We pray. We pray. Look at verse 2. I want to show you something in Philemon verse 2. I want you to make a note of this in your Bible. Look at verse 2. To Apphia, our sister. Now, this isn't what I want you to write down. Many think that Apphia was Philemon's wife. Because he says to Philemon, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, and then to Archippus, and many think that Archippus was Philemon's son. All that is just speculation, but here's what I want you to see. Verse 2, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church that meets in your home, grace to you and peace. Don't, this isn't what I want you to see either, but I don't want to run over it. Notice the order here. Grace to you and peace. Grace always comes before peace. Because until grace has done its work, you can't have peace. Now here's actually what I want you to see. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? The Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord speaks of his authority. He is the Lord. He has been given all authority in heaven and earth. The word Lord speaks to his authority. The word Jesus speaks to his saving power. The angel told Mary, you will give birth to a son, you will call his name Jesus, and he will save the people from their sins. Lord speaks of his authority, Jesus speaks of his saving power, and Christ speaks to the fact that he is the Christ, that is the Old Testament Messiah. So it's like Paul dumps everything on it. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one of authority, the Savior, and the Old Testament Messiah. One more thing, and this is something that we need to remember, but when tensions run high, and when brethren get in the flesh, and brethren tend to get in the flesh when they get mad. And brethren mostly get mad when you're telling them to do something that they think they should do a different way. Okay? And brethren can get mad at you. I mean, brethren can, they can, but here, listen to me. Brotherly love works even in difficult situations. Listen, this is a difficult situation. Onesimus is going back with Tychicus with this letter. And you're going to get his letter to Philemon. But Philemon was humble enough to say, all right, this is what we're going to do. And this is what I need to do. Listen, brotherly love has to work even in difficult situations. It has to. But again, our tendency is when we get angry, we get in the flesh, and we get in the flesh real quick. Amen. Oh, amen. Oh, we don't care nothing about Jesus now. You done made me mad. Jesus is somewhere way, way back in the back. Is that right, Sister Mamie? That's exactly the way it is. We ain't thinking none. My feelings is hurt. We ain't thinking nothing about Jesus now. Listen, The writer of Hebrews, let brotherly love continue. Listen, it works in difficult situations if we have the Spirit of Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, Peter is hobnobbing with the Jews. It's all looking good. Or with the Gentiles. He's hobnobbing with the Gentiles. And then the Jews come up from Jerusalem where he is. Oh. Peter starts backing off from the Gentiles and hanging with the Jews. What did Paul do, Cliff Russell? What did Paul do? Paul went to Peter and confronted him to his face. Galatians 2. Paul confronted him to his face. Oh, you all goody goody. But then the bros, the Jews, come up here and now it's, Now, you think there was some tension involved in that conversation? I bet it was. Because I know enough about Peter, I read enough about Peter in the gospel to know it wouldn't take much to get him upset at all. Not at all. I mean, he done cut a guy's ear off, right? In the garden. And and this is my opinion, he wasn't trying to cut his ear off, he tried to cut his head off. They've got that ear, though. And how quick, you know how quick that happened? Damn, like that. They came in here to get you, you gonna get me? James and John had some issues too, didn't they? When they went in that Samaritan village and the people didn't hear them, what was James and John's remedy for that? Burn this place down. That was two apostles who said that. They ain't gonna listen to us. We gonna make crispy critters out of all of them. See? You can get in the flesh real quick if you. That's why you gotta keep yourself in check. Brotherly love, it's gotta work a difficult situation. This is a difficult situation. And the answer may be we're going to agree to disagree, but when we get done, we're still going to love each other. We're going to love each other. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for this one chapter book, just these few verses, and yet what powerful, powerful lessons and story come from the book of Philemon. Bless us now as we depart this place. Watch over us. Give us minds that are soul conscious as we look forward to this Sunday. As you bring people into our pathway, that we will reach out to them. Give us great success for our family and friends day. Forgive us of sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be